Future-proof gold from Newstalk.
Imagine lying in bed at night and you hear a noise. It's not your phone. It's not anything in your room. You open the window. Nothing. So you decide to investigate the house, all the while the pressure building up in your head. There's nothing out of the ordinary. Feeling more and more stressed and irritated, you turn off the fridge and everything that plugs in. Eventually you collapse onto the bed, tired and defeated, having achieved absolutely nothing in your search. This is the experience of many people who hear what is called the hum. Here to tell us more is Dr. Glenn McPherson, lecturer at the University of British Columbia. Glenn, how are you?
Fine, thanks, Jonathan.
So, explain what this is, because when my producer suggested this is an item, I have to say I sort of thought this sounds like one of those conspiracy theory things you hear on the internet. What is the hum?
It's probably one of about three or four different things, and I've established about four possible hypotheses that I think survive the most basic scrutiny. The one that I'm pursuing right now is that the hum may in fact be the body's reaction to a certain spectrum of radio frequencies. Of course, there is the possibility that the hum is in fact a standard sound, that is a standard acoustic source, or it could be some sort of geological or terrestrial phenomena. And there's also the fourth possibility, which it could be something internally generated along the lines of tinnitus. And this is a good chance for me just to jump in and say that most people don't question somebody when they mention that they have tinnitus. Yet for some reason, people seem to want to question people who would report a low frequency noise, like the hum. So there's a quick rundown of what I'm investigating.
So step back a bit and just sort of explain what it is that people think or say they hear.
Sure. The classic description of this noise is that it sounds like there is a truck, or I think you folks use the word lorry, idling outside one's home, or some sort of big piece of machinery that might be idling down the block or down the street somewhere. Some people describe it as a sort of a very low droning, or in some cases, even a low rumbling type of noise. Some people, in fact, a good percentage of the 10,000 plus people who have reported to my map and database also report there's almost a sort of a vibration that they can sense in their bodies. I can hear the hum, but I don't sense any of those vibrations.
So this hum, does it come on? Does it have a schedule, or is it there all the time?
Again, the classic behavior is that it's louder at night than during the day, and it's louder indoors than outdoors. Now, in some situations, people can hear it off and on during the day, depending on what sort of environment they live in. As it turns out, my family and I just moved out to a very remote and beautifully isolated location on the west coast of British Columbia. And part of the price to be paid for that beautiful background quiet is also that the hum is now much, much louder at night. So presumably during the day, all the noise of human activity masks the hum.
I just want to go through so I can get this clear in my head. If you went into a soundproofed room,
mm-hmm.
Do you hear the hum all the time or not at all?
There are some people who are trying to get relief from the hum have actually built soundproof rooms within their house. And the several people I've talked to who have gone into those rooms have reported that the hum becomes much louder inside those rooms.
So it must be internal then. I mean, having the scientific tools at our disposal, I can't understand how we haven't figured out whether or not it's something that the body generates that we hear, or it's something from the outside. Surely that's something from a scientific point of view, very easy to figure out, no?
No. And because science has already established that the human body can interpret some types of radio frequencies as actually sound frequencies. Now, radio energy and sound energy are two completely different types of energy. The American neuroscientist, Dr. Alan Frey, in the 60s, conducted some rather demented experiments in which he actually beamed microwaves directly into people's foreheads.
Oh.
And those participants reported hearing unusual hissing and crackling and popping noises.
It's probably their brain cells, was it?
I'll mention as an aside, somebody would probably go to jail if those type of experiments were conducted today. And I'll also quickly mention that microwaves clearly have nothing to do with the worldwide hum. That can be easily established. But Dr. Frey did establish the precedent that radio frequencies can be interpreted by the body, trying to make sense of that energy coming out as sound. The first hypothesis that I'm testing is that VLF radio frequencies used by the world's military powers to communicate with submerged submarines may be, in fact, causing some sort of similar effect in humans.
So is there not a way of creating a room in which there are no radio frequencies? Is that not possible?
Yes, in fact, I've designed and built that device. Now, it's similar to what people with some science background might call a Faraday cage. But part of the great irony here, Jonathan, is that you and I both know that the so-called tinfoil hat is the very icon of clinical paranoia.
Right.
But there's a great irony in that, is that a thin layer of foil actually will stop microwaves. The difference is that VLF... Exactly. Now the difference is that VLF radio waves have spectacular penetrating power. They'll sail right through foil. So I did my research. I discovered what type of metal I needed and what type of welding I needed. And I constructed a box, a very sinister-looking sort of metal box. Some people have jokingly said it looks like a metal coffin with a properly designed hatch and whatnot. And now that I can bring it out to this new location that I have here in BC, within a few weeks, I'm going to be entering that box.
But you tell me you have this condition, you've been asking this question, you've built the box, and you haven't gotten in it yet.
Correct. Now, I've gone in it once in my previous location, but unfortunately, it wasn't a covered garage, and the outside ambient noise may have treated some inconclusive results.
Oh, so you need this. You need to put this box in a soundproof room.
Well, not to share too much information, but we're still unpacking the boxes here, moving into our new place. So
right, okay.
I do have some priorities.
All right, I see. Okay. So real life is getting in the way of this burning question. I thought scientists were craven. I thought there was nothing that drove you more than answering this one question. You're like, you know what? I just want to make sure the bed linen is on the bed and we've just put up those pictures. We need to repaint that nursery before I find out this one question that's been driving my entire career.
Well, actually, no. This is a volunteer project, and I am actually a high school teacher during the day, and I'm a university lecturer during summer times and during other side projects. And this is a volunteer, strictly volunteer project.
Does this question get due reverence amongst the more senior members of neuroscience, physics, and so on, or do they sort of giggle when people start talking about the hum?
Well, it's been increasingly mainstreamed. There's been some relentless efforts over the last 2 or 3 years. And now, because of the very widespread exposure in a couple of major media outlets, what we're waiting for now is for a significant university lab or a significant researcher on his or her own to pick this up and then bring the type of professional equipment and serious university-based funding that will finally solve this. This is completely solvable. There is no corporate incentive to solve this, unlike in the pharmaceutical industry or some other types of industries. This is just something that many, many people, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people are suffering, and some of them quite badly. So, and it would be great to help them out.
Is it possible that it is a aural hallucination?
No, or at least I don't think it's very likely. And in fact, I think we should just briefly talk about mass hysteria or some type of delusion. Part of the difference between standard mass hysteria and delusion is that the vast majority of people who find me or my hum map and database do so through independent research rather than hearing about it from somebody else. And in fact, so many people have written to me and said that some of them have actually broken down and cried because they thought that they were hearing things. They thought that they were crazy. But as it turns out, they didn't pick up this notion from anybody else. They experienced the noise themselves. And when they find my website and learn about the hum, they realize that the behavior of this noise is classic and it falls in line with what everybody else is experiencing. And I had the same experience myself. But nobody else in the house could hear what I was hearing, and I became a little bit concerned. And when I went and finally searched it and looked for it, I realized what it was that I was hearing. And that's what made this quite an interesting experience scientifically and intellectually for me as well, just because of my pretty classic scientific background.
Okay, so the next thing I would be looking at is an MRI of your ear and the biology of how you, and see whether or not there's a similarity between people who listen or hear the hum and people who don't hear the hum, that perhaps there is a bit of the way your ear canal is formed that makes you more sensitive to certain types of frequencies that humans aren't, in the same way that dogs and birds can hear different frequencies from humans.
That's an excellent line of inquiry. And part of the problem is that those resources would never be allowed to be used for a project like this. In other words, accessing those types of resources, those are multi-million dollar pieces of equipment. Mm. And so far over four years, I've earned about $800 in funding. And yeah. So...
No, I can see the raised eyebrows of the technician who's looking after the MRI saying, look, I know you have a number of people who appear to have a dark patch somewhere on a scan. Do you mind if we just let them wait quickly while I go and investigate this helmet I have in my ears? Yes, I can imagine exactly. That not going down particularly well. So, right. So from all of the... There's a couple of possibilities. From, you know, before... I must catch up with you once you've had time to put that final bit of varnish on the table and then eventually use that box that you have. I must hear back from you. But what is your hunch? Do you think it's something internal or do you think it's something external?
I think it's either an internally generated phenomenon like tinnitus or it is something that's based in electromagnetism. I really don't think that this could be a classic acoustic noise in the standard sense, just because of some experiences that I've had and thousands of people who have reported to me.
Really interesting speaking with you. Glenn McPherson, lecturer at the University of British Columbia. Good luck in your search, and please let us know what you find once you crawl into the box.
Will do.